to the Word of God in Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 3 through 14. Colossians chapter 1, beginning verse 3. Through verse 14, dear congregation of God's people, hear His infallible word. Beginning at verse 3, Colossians 1. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come to you, as it is in all the world, and brings forth fruit, as it does also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering and joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. May the Lord bless this word to our hearts and to our minds. Once again, Lord Jesus, we praise You and we thank You for Your word. Your word is truth. It's truth for us. It's truth forever. And we just look forward to hearing it, to receiving it into our lives. And we pray that we do just that. Believe it with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. For this we ask in your name. Amen. Well, my text is verse 13 and 14. Who's delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. There's a lot there to unpack, but I want to begin by saying that not only the emphasis here is by Paul is not only are we delivered from the power of darkness. What a phrase that is. Delivered from the power of darkness. But we are translated. You know, there's an exchange that took place. Translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. That kingdom in which there is forgiveness of sin. That sin. The kingdom in which there is life, liberty, light. So this is a tremendous truth here, a tremendous thing that Paul is saying. When we think, especially on a communion Sunday, of what sinners still we are. And I think we need to unpack that a little before we partake of communion once again. I need to remind you of what, of who we really are in nature, and but what we have become in Jesus Christ. See, there's the negative, but there's the positive. And that is very important for us to have and hold. The positive is not so positive. The wonderful is not so wonderful unless the negative is really nasty. Right? If we're not so bad, if we're practically on the outskirts of heaven to begin with, then, you know, we're not going to appreciate fully, as we fully can or possibly can in this world, our salvation. Because we are nasty, nasty people, spiritually, by nature. And that makes salvation so much more wonderful, doesn't it? So I want to talk about this darkness. What does the apostle mean by delivered from this darkness? What is this darkness? What's that word suggesting? Paul is suggesting something specific here. Then I want to talk about the power of this darkness. The power of this darkness, second place. In the third place, I want to talk about the need of grace, the need of deliverance from the power of this darkness. And finally, I want to end on redemption. So we got those four: darkness, power, grace or deliverance, and redemption. Those four things. Well, this Greek word here, darkness, what is Paul saying? Delivering us from the power of the... We'll get to the power in a minute. But this darkness. What's that word implying? Now, you see, you're not going to see it from the English. You're just going to read over it. You're going to gloss over it. I mean, you're just going to, because you're not... You know, we're not all language scholars here. We're not going to our lexicons. What's that, you know? And we're not looking at this word and what it says and what it means in the context here. But in this context, this word has a profound meaning. It has a deep meaning. It is picturesque. And what Paul wants us to picture is that we are... Because of sin, we have plunged ourselves into this abyss of darkness. We are surrounded by a mist. We're in the midst of a mist of darkness. Think of a night time. And you are in this heavy fog-like mist. It smells musty. And the stars are wiped from the sky. There's no moonlight. It is a deep, dark mist. And you're surrounded by this. And you're in the middle of nowhere. Like, I have learned how to hunt a little bit out there in the wilderness. What do you call it? You call it the woods, I call it a forest. It doesn't matter. It's out there. And I can't believe how the woods change when it gets dark. Especially if it's cloudy out, overcast, and there are no stars and no moonlight. I'm lost. You know, I'm like a half a mile from home, and I'm lost. You know, but I've learned the path now, so I kind of hug it. I don't stray too far, because you can really get lost in the woods. It does kind of, you know, make you anxious. Well, that's the idea here. There's this mist, and it's taking out all the light, and it's just surrounding you on all sides. That's the darkness that Paul has in mind. That's what he wants his readers to picture. And that's what sin has done. It has put us, it's plunged us into this darkness, this mist. And it is gloomy. And it is terrible. Now imagine being delivered out of that, into the light.
See the contrast?
That's the contrast here. That's what Paul is setting up. Now, this darkness is referring, this mist is referring to death. Right? That's what sin has put us in. That's what we've plunged into. We plunged into a mist. We're surrounded by this mist. And this mist is the mist of death. And we can't deny it. It surrounds us. We're reminded of it. And the older we get, the more we're reminded of it every day. That's our future. That's what's happened to everyone, man, woman, boy, girl, little infant, child, plunged into a mist, a darkness. The darkness of death. That's what Paul. Remember what God said to Adam? He said in warning him about partaking of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he said, in the day you do that, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, Adam didn't die until 900 years later. So what do you mean, he shall surely die? He died that day. He plunged into that mist. He was dead. Spiritually, he became dead. You see, we're spiritual creatures first. We die spiritually. And then bodily. So it's an eternal death. Because that's the first thing that man needs to realize. He's a spirit. He has a soul. He has a spirit. And God looks upon the spirit, and he looks upon man who is a sinner, and he says that your spirit is dead. He says that to Adam, 900 plus years before he died. He said to Adam, you're dead. Because from God's point of view, we're eternally we're eternal creatures. We're spiritual creatures. We're going to live forever. But now God says, you're going to die forever. First spiritually, and then your body. But you're a dead man when you sinned. Think about how dreadful that is. He said to Adam, who was perfect, sin once, disobeyed God. You're a dead man. Eternal dead man. You think about yourself. How many times have you sinned? Have we sinned, brothers and sisters? How often have you sinned in thought, word, and deed? Each and every day, you can't count it. You are dead men and women. And there's no hope of escaping. The mist is all around you. You can't get out of it. You're lost without a Savior. And so we are, it should shake us a little bit to be dead because of sin is to be under the judgment of God. Is to have no life, no light, no relationship with God. He's sort of turned off to us, and we to him. And we're on our own, so to speak. That's a terrible place to be. Think about how many people you know that are in this terrible place. Don't you see? It's not all fun and games, dear people. It's not all jobs and money and success and education. You know, that stuff, it applies to some extent. But it's about this. This is horrible. This is terrible. No light, no life, no fellowship, only dying, eternal death and dying. This is what their life is.
fully. They're in that mist of darkness.
Now it talks about the power of this darkness. Now what does that mean? What does Paul talk about? The power of this darkness. It means that we are basically, because we are born in sin, raised in sin, we have sin within, sin is all around us, we're in this mist of darkness, spiritually speaking. We are obsessed, people, by nature, by birth, by our parents. We are obsessed with sin. We can't get out of it. We can't get over it. We're addicted to it. Horribly addicted. The power of darkness, power of this darkness means that we have become obsessed with sinning. It is in every detail of our life. By nature. See, this is what the word is saying here. I know that it doesn't look that way when you read it. Where are you getting all this from? But that's what the Greek is talking about. That's what Paul is meaning here. That's what the scripture is saying. You need to appreciate what the scripture is saying so you can appreciate all the more what the scripture is saying on the positive side. You don't understand the Bible like you should. None of us do. That's why you need to come to worship. That's why you need to come to study. That's why you need to learn. This stuff is not appreciated as it should be. And you're not going to hear this in the conversations you have on a daily basis, at work, at play, at school, wherever, television. They're just not going to get this detail. They're not going to get this specific. They're not going to get this passionate about this word. They don't even know it. Even the people that talk about it don't really understand it that well. They understand it a little, but not that well. And don't think that I'm boasting here, because I'm not. I get I'm just telling you what other people have said, what I've learned. What smarter people than me, much smarter than I, have taught me. I'm just passing it on. But that's what it means. That's what Paul is saying. And this power, this obsession by nature that we have, that there's no way that we can... You see, the other thing, too, is that it's not only our experience, because you know you've sinned. And if you had to really be truthful, stand up here and be truthful about what you have thought, what you have said, and what you have done, and really be honest, you couldn't. None of you could. I couldn't. I'm not going to tell you all my sins and what I've thought in my brain, the sinful thoughts that I've had, and the conversations. I'm not going to stand here and do that. You're not going to stand here and do that. No one would, but God knows. And so it has to be our confession, dear people, doesn't it? It has to be that I am, by nature, a terrible sinner. And I have plunged myself there, and I'm obsessed with sin. It's powerful. It influences me. I can't get out of it. So we need a Savior. We need to be delivered from this power, right? This power, this obsession with this darkness, with the dark force. You know, you've heard that before, that expression in the movies. The force is upon us. But it's an evil, wicked, dark force. And we can't get out of it. Someone else has to get us out of it. And who's that someone else but God? God's mercy, God's grace,
God's love, His compassion, is the only thing that can deliver us out of the power of this darkness that we are in. There's no one else. There's nothing else, dear people, that will do. It's not human willpower. You know that. It's not education. It's not the government. Oh, the government, this is wicked as can be these days. It's none of that stuff, is it? The only one that can deliver us out of the power of this darkness is not we ourselves, not man. It's God. It's His mercy and it's His grace. See how much we need His mercy and we need His grace. He need His grace to redeem us, to deliver us from all our sin. Now, who's going to do that? Well, it can't be a creature. Why can't it be a creature? Why can't it be another man? Why can't it be another woman? Why can't it be a prime minister or a president? Or why can't it be our professors? Or why can't it be me? Well, you know, why can't it be? Because we're all debtors, right? Someone needs to pay the debt. Someone needs to pay the price. We owe God. Well, who's going to do that? So a mere creature can't pay the debt we owe to God. And we can't say, well, I'll just stop sinning because it's impossible. We're under the power of this darkness. We can't stop. We're obsessed. We're addicted. So we need a deliverer. We need someone to deliver us from this power. We need the grace and mercy of God to redeem us, to pay the price of sin. But it can't be a creature because each and every one of us owes God. And you can't pay a debt because you owe. So who's going to pay yours? So we must have someone who is not at all sinning. We must have a mediator who's not only very man, but very God, perfect in every way. He can't owe a debt. Plus, he has to be able to take on the infinite wrath of God for sin, because God hates sin, and he will destroy it, completely destroy sin. And the only one that could take on such a punishment is a Savior who is both man and must be God. Only God can take on the infinite wrath of God. And only a perfect man without sin can pay the ransom for us and deliver us. And that's exactly what our Savior did. God's given us the grace and mercy to believe in Jesus Christ, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for our sin. And so we have become the redeemed of God. Now, what has happened to us? Well, first of all, we have been delivered. We have been redeemed. When we talk about redemption, it means that we don't owe anything to God. We have been redeemed. We have been bought. The thing has been paid. There's nothing I owe. So I don't have to work my way to get it. I don't have to earn my way. The debt is paid. I'm free and clear. No more nasty phone calls that I owe a debt. I don't owe anything. I have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. God's judgment is no longer against me, but God's delight is upon me. Paul says here, in verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. What does he mean by the forgiveness of sins? Two things. It means dismission of all of our sin, of the guilt of our sin. First by God. So that God removes all of our sins from his thoughts, all the guilt from his mind. It is no longer, now he sees something else. He sees complete innocence. Seamless righteousness, the seamless righteousness of his Son imputed to us. He sees a beautiful individual. Why is he beautiful? Because he sees the image of his dear son reflected back to him through the grace and mercy that he's poured into us by his Spirit. He sees not a dead person in the mist anymore, but he sees someone that has been taken out of that mist and has been given life and joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. He sees a beautiful child, a newborn son and daughter. Through Jesus Christ, see? That's what the forgiveness of sin means to God. And the forgiveness of sin also means to us that I don't walk around guilty anymore. That all my sin is forgiven. That that God doesn't find me guilty for one single thing that I thought, said, or done. One single one. I'm not guilty. But more than that, that he, forgiveness of sins also means, but here Paul means, that there is no more dominion of sin. You know, the power of sin, that dominion, that obsession, that's been taken away gradually through sanctification, more and more. But it's been taken away. I no longer am dominated by sin. That's what the forgiveness of sin means to me as well. I'm not guilty. I'm not going to die for my sin. I'm innocent, but also the dominion. I've been taken out of that dominion. And in verse 13, you have to go back to 13 in order to understand this. He says that in verse 13, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us from the king, into the kingdom of his dear son. Translated. You know what translate means, right? When you translate Bible languages, for example, the Hebrew, the Aramaic, and the Greek into English, that's translation, right? It's an exchange. It's a transfer, if you will. Or some, you know, when you have a translator, you listen to someone speak another language, and you have a translator translating that language into your own language so you can understand it. Well, that's the idea here, that we have been translated out of the kingdom, out of that mist, out of that darkness, and we've been translated into the kingdom of his son, the kingdom of light. So there's been a translation done. See, that's what happened to me when I became saved. I used to read the Bible, I didn't understand it, but then when I became saved, when I was translated from the kingdom of darkness, all of a sudden the light shone on the page and I began to understand for the first time what the Bible really meant because of my translation from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of light. And I became a new creature. It's like someone was speaking a foreign language and I couldn't understand a word, then all of a sudden I could understand every word. Because I was translated. So you see what's happening here, dear people, in these few verses, a couple of verses that I talked about this morning with you. A marvelous, wonderful thing. If we need to appreciate by nature what we are, and terrible, how terrible it is, but how God has transformed us, has delivered us, has redeemed us, translated us from one kingdom to another, and now we're beautiful. Now we're beautiful. And that can only happen not because I did it. Well, you did it. Because he did it. Giving us grace. Giving us Christ. So now we can sup in his presence. Free conscience. With peace and joy. In
in the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Lord, bless us. Bless us all. Bless us with these words of just tremendous love, tremendous truth. No doubt Paul was jumping for joy as he meditated upon this, thought about this more and more. How he wrote this down, he must have, maybe tears were brought to his eyes for the wonderful thing that you have done to us in Jesus Christ. Would that we would appreciate it more and more, Lord, in the days ahead. Should you give us many, may we understand much more and rejoice every single day for the great love we have found in Jesus Christ, whom is all the forgiveness of our sin. All our sins are forgiven. In his name we pray. Amen. Okay. It's now go to communion. I'm going to read first from 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 32. Then we're going to say a few words. I'm going to say a few more words. I'm going to profess.